This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Enterprise Global. Turbine Asia, or GTA, began operations in 2010 with a multinational workforce of Malaysian, French and Spanish through a joint venture with French helicopter engine manufacturer Safran. I hope I pronounced that correctly. GTA is an independent engine and maintenance repair and overhaul, or MRO, service provider of military and civil engines in the Asia Pacific region. In 2019, the Malaysian aerospace industry secured $16.2 billion revenue with 27,500 highly skilled workers serving the industry. And based on the Malaysia Aerospace Industry Blueprint 2030, the government aims to generate a total of 55.2 billion ringgit and create more than 32,000 additional high-skilled jobs. And this was to increase a number of activities in the maintenance, repair and overhaul business with 49% market share, with nearly half the companies being local players. Now, how that has changed since 2020, we'll get to that in just a moment. But, you know, obviously, you know, there is a silver lining, you know, down the road later. I'm now speaking to the chairman, Dato' Noni Ashrin Dato' Mohd Grazi of Global Turbine Asia. Good morning, Dato'.
Good morning, Frida.
Right. Before we go into, you know, all that has changed in 2020,
yes.
I'd like to know about yourself, right? How did you get involved in the aerospace industry? I was looking at your profile and you were trained as a lawyer.
Yes, I am.
Ah.
Yeah. I know a lot of people ask me because it's a total departure
right.
from what I was trained earlier.
Uh-huh.
I think, you know, when you're young, you kind of feel that at that moment, that was the thing that you want to do. I'm very fortunate. I studied very hard. I graduated and I did my bar exam.
Mm-hmm.
I was called to the bar back in 1997. I have a legal practice in Ipoh with my partner.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that any tertiary or any formal education is what makes you as a person, and it
right.
cannot go wrong.
Right.
But I kind of went to a lot of air shows with my father, and I just fell in love with the industry. So it was kind of embedded when I was young, and, you know, with aerospace,
right.
the sound of the planes and whatever, pretty
right.
exciting for me. So I stuck to that.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And I guess when you look at, you were saying any tertiary education, and I read a book by Robert Kiyosaki years ago, you know, I mean, accounting and law, these are two degrees that will help you whatever industry you go into. Right. You gotta look at the papers, you gotta look at the fine print, right?
Yeah.
So as I was saying earlier on, we had grand ambitions in 2019, right? Now how has the MRO business been last year and this? And, you know, and it's a global challenge, right? But what has been happening?
Well, I think it's for everybody. It's a challenge, definitely. You know, we were trying to figure out what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the aerospace industry was not spared, definitely, because closed border.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't travel, and that's a direct impact to the players.
Right.
But having said that, in aerospace, we are quite structured people because we are highly regulated and it's all about safety. So we kind of have a containment plan in place for a crisis.
Right.
That kind of came into play fairly quickly.
Right.
And we kind of had a small turnaround between ourselves, and the group got together to see how best we can work within a crisis mode.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, when you talk about crisis mode, though, I mean, you know, maintenance, repair and overhaul, MRO, right? So did that come to a complete standstill?
Oh, no.
Okay,
no.
Right.
You see, when you say maintenance, you got to, even though the assets are not working, you still got to maintain.
Right.
Equally, don't get too overboard, being that it's planes and whatever, but if you have a car, you're not still using it, but you got to start the engine, you know? So equally with us, you got to do the ground run. You got
right.
to start the aircraft on the ground if it's not flying, because it's part of
right.
The checks.
Mm.
And of course, there's also what we call preventive maintenance.
Mm.
We have to make sure that certain things are done in order that we preserve the asset.
Right. Yeah. Actually, there is more important maintenance work, right, to make sure, because it is not running. There's actually a lot more maintenance work to make sure that it will
Correct.
Be working when the time
yeah.
is right. Right.
Yeah.
Now, how essential is this sector in stimulating growth within the aerospace industry?
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, I sit on the Malaysian Aerospace Industry Association. I am the lead TSC for MRO. So when we engage our stakeholders, meaning government, agencies, customers, the aerospace blueprint has actually identified MRO as contributing half of the aerospace industry.
Right.
Meaning my sector, what I do with my group of fellow industry MRO players, we are the half of the contributing to the national GDP in that sector. So we have a huge plan, as you rightly say. You know, aerospace industry is in 2019, 16.2 billion. What we plan to grow by 2030 is three times fold. And how do we do that? So as 50% of the contributor, we got to see the landscape strategically. And I believe that with the current crisis, we can see consolidation of businesses. And a new way, a more vigorous way, and perhaps new ideas in order to tap new markets.
Right. Now, does GTA basically service, you know, planes in the region, or are you getting business from around the world, or is it just like, you know, Asia Pacific, which is big enough?
Well, to tell you the truth, frankly, we are lucky that we're not greatly affected because we service the government, the Malaysian Armed Forces. So by and large, yes, by and large, you know, the Air Force, the Navy and the police and whatnot, they constantly fly because it is in times of crisis. And you see a huge reduction on the civil side, on the commercial side. So because that I do have ongoing contracts, anchor contracts with the government, that kind of levels out the impact of the crisis. So GTA is quite lucky in that sense that we kind of have that sphere of supporting the government business.
Okay. Now, when we talk about most businesses, we hear them pivoting and all that. Did GTA have to pivot in any way during this period?
As a company, we kind of consolidated. We concentrate on the cost management. We want to preserve our headcount. We do not want to lay off people. So that was kind of the way forward for us, the key issues that was discussed earlier. But as a person, as an entrepreneur, I see there's a lot of other opportunities, and you say pivoting, maybe not just on GTA, perhaps on opportunities that represent themselves currently.
All right. And I want to talk about that, right? Because that's kind of interesting as well. So you're saying that some of your notable clientele at the moment is the government, right? In terms of the Air Force and the government. And, you know, what kind of turnovers are we talking about?
We've been lucky so far that we've clocked in about 70 to 80 million a year. And the reduction is quite minor. We have actually built our technical know-how and capability in order to support the A400M military. I don't know how far you know, even that's this propeller turboprop aircraft.
Educate me.
If you remember, Tom Cruise was hanging out.
Is that one? So,
is that machine?
And
the Air Force has four airplanes. Over the years, we kind of have a capability building, and hopefully, we will get a contract for the next 3 years to support this aircraft, and it will double our turnover.
And I think that's the wise thing, right? I mean, apart from commercial airplanes, you're also working with the local government in that sense, right? I mean, if it was just commercial, then that would be a bit of a challenge. Anyway, I'd like to know how, you know, SMEs could explore this center and what sector and what the potential areas that can be harnessed. We'll continue this conversation after this. I'm here with Dato' Noni Ashrin, Dato' Mohd Razzi, the chairman of Global Turbine Asia. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Bold, fearless, Malaysia. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
You're listening to Enterprise. Good morning, Frida Liu here. I'm speaking to Dato' Noni Ashrin, Dato' Momorazzi, the chairman of Global Turbine Asia, or GTA. And what they do is, you know, they're an independent engine and maintenance, repair and overhaul service provider of military and civil engines in the Asia Pacific region. Maintenance, repair and overhaul is MRO. You know, why should more SMEs explore this sector? Now, what are the potential areas that can be harnessed?
Okay, Frida, I think really exciting for the audience to know is that there are a lot of new products from the aerospace side that is being developed. We kind of follow through what the OEMs are doing, people with the likes of Airbus and Boeing. Mm-hmm. If you look at the commercial side, they're coming out with a lot of new planes that are more efficient, because when there's cost efficiency, there will be cost cutting, and it benefits the customer, passengers worldwide. So passengers are more demanding in terms of the experience and the cost. And we as industry, we look at fulfilling the customer experience and expectation. So therefore, I think at the moment, the Malaysian landscape is that we kind of, a lot of the MRO companies will have their specific area that they concentrate on. But what I can see for future areas that we can venture is component MRO. Component MRO meaning that, you see, the plane, there is the airframe.
Right.
That's the body.
Right.
And then there's the equipment inside. You will have your flight instruments, and you will have your lighting and whatnot. And you have the engine.
Right.
So typically, I'm just breaking it down to simple terms.
Right,
there's
right.
more to it.
Yeah.
So we can reduce our dependency on
components,
manufacturers, because we see now, what's happening is the borders are closed. So there's long delays. And I am sure that moving forward, we have to look at real capability in Malaysia so we can be sustainable locally.
Right.
And this, perhaps, that it can be for SMEs from different sectors may want to dabble into aerospace.
Right.
Typically, what happened when the oil prices, we had oil prices shock a couple of years back. And what I saw was a shift of the guys who are into the manufacturing of valves or all those gears in oil and gas, they went into aviation.
Right.
So because the machines, the factory cannot produce as much, the demand went down. So they kind of shifted their focus.
Right.
Therefore, there is a room for future endeavors for SME, perhaps as well on new technology. We know we've been talking about drones. You see this on TikToks. I mean, like, okay, we are at home, you know, TikToks.
Right, right.
Videos can be very interesting. So even for me, I'm focusing now on perhaps on, just to share a little bit, that on drones MRO opportunities.
Right.
That can be an area that we can look at.
Right. Go on. Yeah. So interesting. Go on. Yeah.
And also that we do not see in Malaysia there is a huge stockpiling in terms of spares that can support this aircraft or the air mobility side. So perhaps, you know, the SME can look at the ecosystem, the sort of the support services that can ensure that the value chain, the logistics side, can be improved.
Okay. So, and of course, when we talk about Industry 4.0 and we need to move up the value chain, this is the space that we need to play in, right? And using technology, you know, so taking manufacturing to a higher level, to a more sophisticated level as well. You know, as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, right? How can, you know, we're talking to people, how can you stay resilient amidst, you know, a rather turbulent, let's use that term, economic outlook, right? How do, I guess, like the mindset, how do someone stay, I guess, optimistic even?
Oh, I think that it's a challenge, definitely, you know, for everybody and the sectors that are widely hit, like tourism, it's not easy. I have friends, you know, entrepreneurs who just can't sustain anymore. And it's either they shut down or they tell themselves, we got to do something else. And this mindset is not easy, Frida. I mean, not a lot of people can actually just switch and look at the bigger picture and have the resources. I believe that a lot of SMEs need help in terms of realignment or refocusing into new sectors. But of course, it requires resources. And through the government's effort, we see a lot of funds being channeled through tech funds via Penjana and whatnot. But then again, it's really, it boils down to the owner and the entrepreneurs themselves is to convince that, you know, if we got to pick up the pieces and, you know, and really look at where it makes sense to refocus or maybe even restart for that matter. And yes, it is a huge mental sort of, and also the energy that you need in order to do this. And I believe not everybody can do it.
Right.
I had chats with banks or, you know, people who can fund, and some of them perceive that in this crisis it's actually a consolidation or an exodus or, you know, it's to wipe out weaker or non-performing companies and consolidate as a group, which can also be a silver lining in the future for us.
Right. Separate the boys from the men, or in this case, the girls from the women, right? This is what we... and I guess, okay, just a final question. For those keen to start a business within the aerospace industry, I know you talked about it earlier, but if they have no prior experience, what are the first steps to be taken in order to get them on their way? Because you're saying all these things, right? And it sounds, right, okay, there is an opportunity here, but where do I begin?
Yeah, I know, I know. Well, for SMEs, I think what you need to do is to do your research, you know. And if you feel that you don't have enough information, you can always come to talk to us at MIA, Malaysian Aerospace Industry Association. We have 80 members. We share our experiences. We share the challenges and some guidance to that certain extent.
Right.
And I believe reaching out, because a lot of people, they think they want to do things and perhaps it's just on their own. But reaching out to the people that are existing players, that can help. And of course, you know, nothing beats networking.
Right.
Because if you network, you know, you between friends. And now, you know, it's just friends from school. It's just people reaching out to each other. And you'll be surprised that to see where your friends are at. And they're quite happy to lend a hand.
Right.
And I do believe that people should be talking to each other, sharing and help out. And for me, the people that have helped me a long time ago through my ups and downs, my, you know, sad stories or whatever, I remember them and ever so grateful, because with the little as small as a piece of advice or maybe some financial assistance, which is not much then, can mean a great deal when, you know, come to this sort of situation. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Thanks for spending some time with us. You know, it's been very educational for me learning about this space. I've been speaking to Dr. Noni Ashrin Datamobarazi, the chairman of Global Turbine Asia. You've been listening to Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.